So the summer when I was 16 years old, I was a swimming instructor. It was a volunteer job. My mom decided I was too old for summer camp and too young to just be at loose ends. So she signed me up with the Red Cross to help teach kids from the local Head Start program how to swim. So I've grown up on the water, practically in the water. So the concept that there were kids who didn't know how to swim was kind of new to me. But here were kids, 6 and 7 and 8 years old, and not a single one of them had ever dipped their toe in a pool before. Well, you don't know what a death grip is until you've seen a 6-year-old who's never been in a pool hanging on to that concrete lip. So my job was to convince them to let go. It was very hard. I tried everything. We practiced kicking while holding on to the ledge. We played those games where you sing a song and then at the end you stick your head under the water. That doesn't work, by the way. They do not fall for that. But mostly I let them kind of hang on to me for a bit, and eventually, very gradually, over many weeks, they learned to trust the water and trust themselves and float. I think about trying to convince those kids to let go of the concrete lip of the pool when I read about the experience of Mary and Joanna and Mary Magdalene on Easter morning. For the angels to say, "He is not here, he is risen," is a bit like someone saying to a non-swimmer, "Go ahead, jump in." They were used to dry land where dead people stay dead. It was terrifying and confusing to think that the world really had turned upside down, that Jesus was risen from the dead, that all that they expected to happen was not going to happen, and something else they'd never expected was already happening. But finally, gradually, they got it. The joyous reality of it rose up in their hearts. The one we love is not dead. He hasn't left us at all. What glorious news. Christ is risen. And then they went back to tell the others who went through the exact same thing. They couldn't believe it and couldn't understand it. They thought Mary and Joanna were putting them on. It took them a long time through slow convincing to accept the reality that Jesus was risen. And then they too felt the joy, and their lives were changed forever. How do you convince someone that the resurrection is real? That God's love has conquered death? That it's okay to let go, to trust in God and live our lives in the light of the resurrection? I don't really mean trying to convince them of the historical facts of 2,000 years ago. I've tried it, and frankly, it's about as effective as those songs to get the kids to duck their head underwater. It doesn't really work well. No, I'm talking about when, you know what I mean, when someone you love, someone you really care about, is all tangled up in knots, not able to let go of something that is hurting them. It can be as simple as trying to tell your teenager that tomorrow's test is really not the end of the world, or as complicated as trying to tell a good friend that their addiction really is going to kill them. All those things, all those parts of our everyday life, big and small, we know, you know, can be completely transformed by the truth of the resurrection, by letting go of the edge of the pool or whatever it is we've got in our death grip, and trusting in God, trusting that God really is in charge of the universe. Resurrection life is knowing that we can float on that sea of God's grace, always buoyed up by God's powerful love. Love strong enough to overcome death. And I think, from what I read in the newspaper, that now more than ever, people need to hear that. There is too much hate and fear and pain in our world. It's tearing us apart. It's tearing apart our country, our families. It's hurting those we care about, near and far. Don't you think people need to know that love has triumphed over fear and hate and always will? That we never need to give in to those who are trying to divide us? That we never need to let other people define who we are? Because we are all God's children. And Jesus died and was raised for each and every one of us. It's funny about convincing people to try swimming, because it's really just a scientific fact, right? That bodies that are lighter than or the same density as the water will float. You can like chart it out on a blackboard. But do you think that looking at equations on the blackboard would make you willing to jump into the deep end of the pool? I don't think I would. If you had never been in a pool before, that might not be enough to convince you. You have to experience it, or hear about other people's experiences, or see other people swimming. That's what Mary and Joanna and Mary do. They say, "This is true. I saw it with my own eyes." So if we want others to let go of the lip of the pool, maybe the way to do it is to share our own stories of resurrection. You know, I'm pretty lucky because I hear stories of resurrection all the time. You all are the ones who tell them to me. You walk into my office down the hall here and you share them, often with tears in your eyes. Tears in my eyes too. You tell me stories of relationships seemingly damaged beyond repair that are healed and strengthened. Stories of grief too deep for words that is lifted. Stories of reaching out to a stranger in fear and trepidation, rewarded with a new friendship and making a real difference in someone's life. Sometimes we're in the middle of the story, not the end. Sometimes we're at our own particular Good Friday. But we are resurrection people, and we know that these are resurrection stories that we're telling. We know the water will hold us up. Sharing the stories of where they saw the risen Jesus brought the disciples together and made them into the church. Sharing our own resurrection stories is what makes us a community. We know that this is the place where we can tell those stories, even if we're still in the middle of them, the Good Friday part, and that others will remind us of how the story ends. Because sometimes just explaining it on a blackboard doesn't work. Sometimes you have to let people hang on to you for a bit and share your own story. To tell the truth as you've experienced it, just as Mary and Joanna and Mary did. To say to someone who's holding on to the edge of the pool for dear life, to tell them, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to be that busy, that stressed out. You don't have to be that angry, that afraid. It will be okay. God's love will triumph for you, too. Christ is risen for all of us. By telling and retelling our own resurrection stories, we give witness to the fact that there is another way of being in the world that's different from what the powers that be want us to think. Because the truth is that Jesus rose again. He got up. He went to see his friends. He forgave them for messing up and abandoning him. He said, "Do not be afraid," and peace be with you. He said, feed my sheep, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know this is true. You know it, or you wouldn't have bothered to get here this morning to celebrate together this wonderful reality. You know it's true, but other people don't. The world still does not know, has not comprehended that the light will always shine in the darkness, and that God's justice, God's desire for justice and freedom for all people will eventually overwhelm all attempts at injustice and division, that love will always triumph over hate and fear. They don't know. So we have to tell them. Don't you think so? Don't you think that the world needs to hear that love is stronger than death, especially right now? Jesus proved once and for all that the crosses and crucifixions of this world would not be the last word, that the failures and tragedies and deaths of this world would not be the end of the story. He showed that we will not be left to our own devices, but will always and forever have God's unflagging and unfailing presence and love and grace holding us up, sustaining us, supporting us. That's the water we swim in. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Christ is risen.